Okay, let's take a look at the questions which our listeners have sent through. We'll start off. Okay, Muftisab, we're going to start off with this question. Now, in this question, they actually, in this particular question, they're actually speaking about a dream that they had. So Muftisab can just advise how they should go about, understanding this. So they say, Salam, Jazakallah for an informative program. I know not on topic, but please advise. Alhamdulillah, I have a good life. In three consecutive days, I had a dream. First night, I was almost robbed of my bag in my town, but was saved. Second night, almost robbed and again was saved. But last night, I dreamt I was held captive in a shack and was very traumatized. I don't believe in it, but it's just hurting me.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With regards to dreams, we don't do interpretation of dream. It's a specialized knowledge. Some ulama have the gift and they do the interpretation of dreams. If you feel uncomfortable, the hadith comes that you should, read the dua. Read a'udhu bi kalimati illahi tammati min ghadabi wa iqabi wa min sharri ibadi wa a'udhu bika min hamadati shayateen an yahdhurani, and blow towards your left side. And also in terms of do a quick analysis of yourself and say that, is there anything that I can change, that I can improve myself and work towards improving yourself? So much of our dreams are a reflection of our own inner fears, that, we have certain fears that are deep down, that we're going to get, there's going to be a break into our house and things like that. So that plays up in our dream. So we would say that read your du'as, sleep with wudu, and whatever change you can make in your life, continue doing that, and inshallah place your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
JazakAllah so much, Muftisab, for that very beautiful advice. Okay, another question, right? Respected Muftisab, how do we handle the situation where the husband works 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on weekdays as a doctor, also works on weekends till 2 p.m. The poor wife has all the responsibilities of the home, doing school rounds for the kids, attending all school-related matters. By the time the father comes home, kids are done with supper, bathing, homework. He just plays with them for a while, spends little time with them. The poor wife is being drained by all this. Spoken to him a few times, he says she must contribute financially also when he comes from work very tired. How do we handle this common situation in many young couples' home? Jazakumullah.
Well, this has become a common scenario. It requires balance from both sides. It's obviously the sister asking the question today. And the husband obviously not listening, or the answer may he reach him, may not reach him. So we need to look at it from both perspectives. On the one hand, the husband has a responsibility, a financial responsibility, a duty that Allah has given him. And his wife needs to be supportive in that regard. That is on the one hand. On the other hand, there's a primary responsibility that the sister has, and she has to fulfill that responsibility, but it doesn't fall entirely on her. Taking care of all the responsibilities of the house and the kids doesn't fall entirely on her. So both parties need to have empathy towards each other in supporting one another. And the father obviously needs to realize that it's not just about paying the school fees and spending on the money and playing for a few moments, but there's more to it than that responsibility of being a father for the kids and being a husband. It goes beyond that. So it's a difficult situation. I think they need to talk, and she said she has spoken, but I think they need to understand each other more deeply on an emotional level, that when you address these issues, it's not about you'd ever do this, accusing him or blaming him, but it's more about talking about your feelings and emotions, that I feel I'm overwhelmed, I feel I can't manage, I need your assistance, I need your support, using that type of language and saying that, you're an absent father, you never hear, what's the use calling yourself a father when you're not here for the kids? This children's father, you know, what a bad man he is. So it's about the language. Okay. And also, you know, in situations, so it's very delicate. It's very, the issue needs to be addressed. And we would always say that try to, before approaching any sort of heated discussion, which is intense, you need to preempt for yourself, prepare yourself. You know, make wudu, perform 2 rakat salah, make dua that Allah softens his heart, you know, grants the understanding, then wait for the opportune time. You keep yourself calm. Don't be overly optimistic that you're going to get your way immediately, and then talk about it at that time in a way that, you know, you show your emotion and the need, the emotional needs that are required, and inshallah, in that way, you know, there could be some sort of understanding that is reached. So, you know, to sum up what we've been saying is that this is a common scenario. We find it that on the one hand, husbands, they're working and they're working hard, and all the money that they are earning is really for their family, for their kids, for their children, for the benefit of the children, and that's why they push themselves to the limit. On the other hand, you know, that is not all that they need to be doing. There's more that they need to do. The wife needs to understand the responsibility, but also she needs to be supportive of the husband, and together with that, he needs to help her also. So it's a balancing role. It's a difficult situation, and we're all trying to find that balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy.
Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really make it easy for each and everyone. Every, you know, couples going through a lot of difficulties at home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them to resolve those issues. Now, here's another question, Mufti Saab. The person says, I've been given a gift which is too big for me in size. If I return the gift so the person can gift it to a very close family member, would this be wrong?
You see, there's no problem with returning a gift, but how would the person respond? You need to work out your own, you know, based on your own experience of the person, with the person. Will the person feel that you didn't accept the gift? Will they feel offended? Will they feel hurt? To give the gift to someone else, you don't have to return it to the person. You can give it to someone else. So basically, in terms of a masla point of view, someone's given you a gift, you can give it to someone else, there's no problem. So that is no problem. You don't have to keep the gift. You can give it immediately away. That's on one hand. On the other hand, do you want to return it to the person and suggest they give it to someone else? That may offend the person. So there's a room of what was intended as a good thing may turn out as a bad thing, and it may create some distance. So you need to know the person. Sometimes you know this person, you know, they're very easygoing. They wouldn't mind. They'll think, you know, it's a good idea what you said. On the other hand, you may have someone who may get offended in the whole exercise turns to a negative one. So you need to be able to read that situation.
Okay. If a Quranic verse is written in English, can that paper be dropped into the dustbin?
No, it shouldn't be dropped into the dustbin. Even though it's not the actual Quran, it's a translation of the Quran, but then too, reverence should be shown to it, and it should be put into, you know, it should be disposed of in the way that we dispose Islamic literature, by burying it in a place where people don't often walk.
Okay, another question is, can one set off bank charges with interest earned on an account?
If the bank is willing to do this from their side, so you tell them, they took, I don't want no interest, but don't charge me bank charges, so they do it, then it's fine. But you can't on your own say, no, bank charges every month is 200 rand, I'm getting 200 rand interest here, so that is for that. That doesn't work like that.
Okay, jazakallah for that. Here's another question. Always enjoy this program. What's Mufti Saab's view on wearing denim jeans? People are confused when they see women with niqab wearing denim jeans. Their husbands are muftis, moranas. When I tell my family members not to wear jeans, they say that this learned person's wife is wearing, how could it be wrong? And then, okay, they say, please enlighten us. Also, ulama need to be made aware of this. Not all alims and muftis, just a few of the younger ones.
So with regards to clothing, the one thing is that our attire should not resemble their attire. We should not imitate them. Nabi Salman said that person who imitates a nation is from amongst them. Now, The question then is that, okay, that is one aspect, so imitating other people. Another aspect is that clothing shouldn't be tight-fitting.
Right.
Obviously, for a lady, when she's going out of the home, she needs to have her body covered. And even then, when she's in the confines of her own home, then too, the clothing should not be covered, should not be, tight-fitting on her. Even in front of her mahrams, she should have loose clothing, loose-fitting clothing on her body. Right. So, in terms of the wearing of jeans specifically,
right.
If a person wears a jeans in a way that it's not something fashionable, there's no problem with the actual material of a jeans. It's material.
Right.
The other material, there's different types of material. But now, the question is that, has it become a common indicator of non-Muslim dress? Is it a sign, or do people across all walks wear the jeans as such? So if a person, you know, it's not a torn jeans, it's not very tight fitting, and it's worn in a way that falls within the parameter of the Sharia, then there's nothing that prohibits it. Obviously, it's not something advisable, but there's nothing that prohibits it. So therefore, I would suggest to this lady that, you know, she, in her way, she wants to advise people and saying that learned people are wearing it. I would say that, look, it's a balancing act, how it's worn, and the fact that, you know, different types of people, it's not a sha'air of a specific people. Different people across different spectrums do wear it. So if it's worn in a loose way and a person is covered and they wear it within the confines of the home, then there's nothing problematic with the material itself.
Okay, Jazakallah for that. Mufti's up another interesting question. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti. If I missed the Hajjud and didn't read my witr for Isha, please advise. Must I just read witr at Fajr time, or must I read 4 Farad and 3 witr?
Okay, so now you've missed the Tahajjud Salah. So, you've missed the Tahajjud Salah is a Sunnah Salah, Nafil Salah. The witr is a Wajib Salah. So you've missed, you were intending to wake up early for Tahajjud and for your witr, and then you slept right through, so you missed Tahajjud and Witr Salah. So the Witr is an obligation, so you should make that Qaza immediately, Fajr time. In the Fajr time, as the time comes in, you make your Qaza of Witr. The Tahajjud, you can make Qaza of it between sunrise and Zawal time. That entire period, you can make your Qaza of that during that period. So yes, you can make Qaza of that up until Zawal time.
Jazakallah for that. Okay, here's another question. Salam, I get very confused with this whole imitation jewelry thing. Can women wear imitation jewelries, or does it have to be pure gold and pure silver?
So a man can only wear a silver ring, which is about 4 something grams of silver. It can't be more. Then a lady can wear silver and gold rings.
Right.
She can't wear imitation rings. And then jewelry, a lady can wear imitation jewelry. That's fine. Men are not supposed to wear jewelry.
Okay, so if I understood what you said, move this up. So the ring can't be imitation, but the other jewelry can be.
Yes, so the lady's ring must be gold or silver, can't be imitation. But the rest of the jewelry, that can be imitation, yes.
Jazakallah so much for that, Mufti Sahab. Salams, hope you are well. Please advise, during Salah, I had visions of a person. It's happened twice.
No. So the mind does play games. Our mind does have the ability to create images of people. In Salah, we're not supposed to have any vision of anyone. We need to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fact that Allah is watching us and that we are looking at Him.
Okay, Jazakallah for that. Assalamu alaikum. The iddah period when a spouse passes away is equivalent to how many days in total, please? Is it the same with English and Islamic dates? One marhum passed away Jummah morning and the other at Asr time. So one day counts from when?
Okay, so the days count from the time, the exact time of when the person passes away. So just say the person passed away at Jummah time, then that is at 12 o'clock, then the next day at 12 o'clock is day one, the first day is completed. And then the next day on Sunday at 12 o'clock is day two. And like that, when you count till 130 days complete, at that very moment when the person passed away, that is when the idda will complete. So, you know, for the person who passed away Jummah time, after 130 days are completed at the time of Jummah, that is when that person's idda will complete. And for the one who passed away Asr time, so 130 days, meaning 24 hours from that is one day, and like that you count on, at that time the next person's idda will be complete. However, there's a situation where if the person passed away on the first of the Islamic month, then the person will wait, you'll count 4 months and then 10 days. So that is only on the first of the Islamic month, but that doesn't often happen. So you will just count 130 days to that particular time.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, Muftisab. I think probably maybe related to the question that we just posed a short while ago with regards to the jewelry question. Somebody is asking, Assalamu alaikum, what's the ruling regarding 18 karat gold plated?
So in terms of jewelry, so if it's 18 carat, that is more than 50%, so then that would fall in the category of gold. Gold plating is a thin layer of real gold over some metals, and in terms of with regards to zakat that a person has to pay, you only pay zakat on the amount of gold that is in there. The gold content is generally minimal in that, so you'll have to consult a jeweler to see how much zakat you need to pay on the gold that is in that.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Another question coming through now. Does one follow sequence when making qada of salah? Example, if a person has years of qada salah, in a recent qada, like for example a qada of last month or today, which one should be performed first?
Yes, so you are required to follow sequence, but not necessarily sequence. What you actually are required to do is to stipulate what qada you are making. So as long as you stipulate that on this particular day, this Dhuhr Salah that I have missed, I am making the Qadha of that day. If you cannot remember, then you make the intention the last one that I missed or the first one that I missed, that would suffice. So that would be the intention that you make. But you need to have an intention for your Qadha. Qadha done without intention, Qadha Salah, or the Qadha fasting done without an intention, that doesn't fall for the specific day, and that is a problem. And I think there's a great deal of unawareness and people not being aware of this, that you need to have your intention specifying which qada you're making for the qada of salah and for the fast.
Okay, another question is, I think with regards to the qada fast, they're asking also with regards to qada fast of Ramadan, is it the same?
Yes, it is the same. You need to stipulate which day you are making qada for. The best is to make qada the last one that I missed or the first one that I missed.
Okay, now here's another question. I have an old aunt, 84 years old. She has two pairs of gold earrings. I think the value, they just got there, 7,000 rand. Probably the value of the two pairs of earrings is 7,000 rand cash. Receives pension monthly. She stays with her brother and sister-in-law. Is she eligible for zakat?
So the zakat threshold is 9,000 rand. So if she has the earrings and at the time she just received her pension, and that means she'll have about 9,000 rand in her possession, and at that moment she won't be able to accept the zakat. But once she spends her pension, she goes below 9,000 rand, and then at that time she will be able to accept a zakat.
Okay, Muftisab, I think... The question, all right, so the question is, I have an old aunt, 84 years old, she has two pairs of gold earrings. The 7,000 rand means that they're clarifying it here, they're saying 7,000 rand cash on hand, not the value of earrings.
Okay, so then it looks like she won't be able to accept zakat, because that earrings and the 7,000 rand will take her out of the zakat threshold. So she will actually have to pay zakat.
Yeah. Okay, Jazakallah so much for that, Mufti Saab. Another question. I teach at a maktab and earn a minimal salary, under 2,000 rand. Is it my husband's duty to give me a monthly allowance whether I'm earning or not?
Yes, yeah, so the husband's duty is to take care of the necessities of the wife in terms of her place of residence, her expenditure, providing for her food, providing for her toiletries, according to the norms of the family that he is in and her family. So that is his responsibility. Then beyond that, we advise, the ulama advise husbands to give their wives, you know, something extra beyond that. But that is his responsibility. Now, in terms of beyond that, whatever he does give her is her kindness. So from her 2,000 rand that she is earning, she is not obliged to spend that on the necessities of the home. That is her money. But if she does spend it, she'll be rewarded for that. And, you know, in this era where things are so expensive, both parties are working, people need to work together to make ends meet, you know, to survive in this time. It's an era of survival. And each one needs to try and play their role wherever possible.
Very, very true. Jazakallah for that. Mufti Saab, can one read Salah with gold-plated ring, or is it imitation?
Yeah, so we need to look at it to see, will it fall in the category of gold or imitation? What is the dominant here? If it's more gold, then it's gold. If it's more, metals, then it will fall in the category of imitation. So whatever is the dominant feature here, then we'll put it in that category.
Okay, let's take a look at this final one or two questions for today. Mufti Saab, what is the amount for fast must in Ramadan for marhum? In other words, fidya.
Yeah, the fidya amount is roughly 35, 36 rand, meaning for each fast. So remember that when a person misses Ramadan fast, and the person is an able person, then their way of making up for that is to fast the must fast. And if the person is not able to fast, then they will pay fidya. If there's no hope of them ever recovering, then they will pay fidya in their lifetime. If a person has missed fast and they haven't yet been able to make up the fast, then they should put a wasiyah to say that from my wealth, pay my fidya. That is, if they've done that, then it will be compulsory to take that amount out from their wealth. In the case where they have not written a wasiyah about how much fast they've missed and how much wealth should be taken out for that, then in that case, if the inheritors on their own want to do that, and that's a voluntary gesture from their side, then it's hoped that it will be accepted on behalf of the marhum. Because the marhum hasn't made effort to write this down and to make a wasiyat, so the marhum has been negligent with regards to the right of Allah. So therefore, we say that the heir should do it, and it's hoped that it will be accepted. But there was negligence on behalf of the heir, or on behalf of the marhum. Now, in that case, if the marhum had passed away without having fulfilled the qaza, then for every fast, roughly 35 rand, 36 rand, that needs to be paid, and that needs to be given to a poor Muslim person.
Okay, Mufti Saab, final question for today. If I read Surah Sajda from the Quran and I forgot to make Sajda, I don't know, they're saying make Sajda a shukr. It's supposed to be Sajda a tilawat. But anyway, some of the past Sajdas I also missed. How do I cover up for my missed Sajdas?
So the sajda that was missed in the salah, there's no way of making up for that. For that, you must make tawbah and istighfar. For the sajdas that you've read out of salah, yes, what you do is you with wudu, facing qibla, from a sitting or standing position, say Allahu Akbar and go into sajda, read your tasbih of sajda, and come up and continue doing that, making intention for each one, the last one that you've missed or the last one that you need to read, and continue doing like that. So make an estimation how many you have, 20, 30, 50 that you haven't done, and then do that, inshallah, in that way you can complete the outstanding amount.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. That brings us to the end of the program today. It's just about 10 seconds before 10 o'clock. Jazakallah to Mufti Saab for taking all the questions, answering all those questions for us. And, we get to learn our deen and we get to practice our deen through these questions. Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. We hope to speak again next week.